Will you pray with me, please? Father, we know that your word is breathed out by you and that it creates. So now, Father, use your word that it might create something new in us. New revelation of Jesus the Christ, our Savior, the King of the world. And thank you, Father, the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts may be acceptable by you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
We pause this morning to celebrate the Feast of the Epiphany, and I want to be very careful to talk about that just for a moment, because I think it's important that we recognize that we're not worshiping the Epiphany, we're worshiping Jesus Christ in it. Whenever I go to Jerusalem and carry people there, we travel the Holy Land, we go to all the wonderful spots that mark the different events, the life of Christ and so forth, I always remind them, we don't worship the place, we worship the event. We worship what Jesus did there. And so today, that's what we're doing. Now, the church calendar, of course, gives us a guideline to do that. We have Advent, and then Christmas, and now Epiphany, and then Lent, and Easter, and then Pentecost, and so on. It starts over. I think one of the things that's important for us to recognize is the church year, the church calendar, is simply a tool to help us recognize our life lived in Jesus Christ. One of the abbreviations, the outline of the church calendar, of the church year, of the progression of our church year, I really enjoy it because it makes things very simple. The church year tells us this: Christ is with us, Christ is for us, Christ is in us. Now think about that for a moment. Christ is with us, that's Christmas, God the Father. And then Christ is for us on our behalf. That's Lent and then Easter. He comes on our behalf. He does things for us, our substitutionary atonement. But then we get to Pentecost, and then Christ says, I will even live in you. So I love that outline. Christ is with us, for us, and in us. You see, I like it because I can even remember it. It reminds me of who Jesus is and how I worship him. So today, we come, in fact, to acknowledge that Jesus is the light of Christ, and the fact that Epiphany recognizes that light, that we recognize Jesus Christ as the Christ only because of revelation. Now, if you will, stop for a moment, let's think about the means that God the Father has used to proclaim his Son so far in the Nativity story. What has he used to proclaim his Son? Well, first, the angel Gabriel went to Mary and said, by the way, you're chosen. She said, thanks. Okay. The angel went to Joseph and said, okay, don't worry, things are okay, don't worry. And then Mary, after she was pregnant, went to visit cousin Elizabeth. And Elizabeth also was pregnant with who was to be John the Baptist. And when they got together, the baby John the Baptist leapt in her womb. Revelation. So then Elizabeth says, wow, this must be the child. This must be the Messiah. Then the angels awakened those shepherds in the field. We love that story, don't we? Hey, awakened the shepherds in the field. And so now here we are, but so far this has been a family affair, hasn't it? It's all for the Hebrew nation, all for the Jewish people. And then suddenly now today we hear wise men, magi from the east come to visit this Jesus. They come because they've seen his star. That God has said, wait a minute, my gospel, my son, my only begotten, is not just here for the Jews, my chosen people, thank God he was and he is, but he's here for the Gentiles. Now, let me tell you why that's important. We're Gentiles. We are the Gentiles, folks. And so we're thankful that at this moment now, we recognize that God has said, but yes, I'm going to share the gospel, this light of Jesus Christ, to the world. Not just to my chosen people, and they're still chosen, the Hebrew nation. So God so determined that God reached beyond those fields where the shepherds were. He reached beyond the shepherds at the bottom of the barrel to wise men who seemed to be at the top. He reached beyond those people, the shepherds who were frightened by God's revelation, to wise men who said, wait a minute, we've got to find and know more about this revelation, this light of revelation. So we see that what he's doing is amazingly important to spread the gospel to you and me. Maybe you might remember the story of Simeon. Simeon, who was in the temple worshiping, Simeon and Anna. That's in Luke's gospel. Simeon is there. He has been promised that he would see the Messiah, Jesus, the baby. He would see the child before he died. And when the mom and dad, Mary and Joseph, brought the baby, and it wasn't a baby by then, it was an older child, for the rites of purification, and they came in, and Simeon says, but this is he. And Simeon picks it up and says some of the most beautiful words in Scripture. It's the Nunc Dimittis, we call it. Let me remind you what he said. Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of the people Israel. Wow, isn't that beautiful? Lettest thou and thy servant depart in peace, because my eyes have seen thy salvation. He's seen it, and he recognized that it wasn't just for him, it wasn't just for the Jewish people, that in fact it was for the Gentiles, a light to lighten the Gentiles. So we recognize and give thanks today for that from the beginning, the gospel is a story of the outsider being invited to become an insider. The gospel is that Jesus is born among the poor and visited by foreigners. He spends his time among sinners and is hated and the tax collectors, the sick, the lame, the mentally ill. That's where Jesus spent his time, that the outsiders might become drawn to the center. He makes enemies of the religious and the political leaders. He challenged the scribes and the Pharisees. And in fact, he was so abhorrent that Rome sided with all of them against him. Jesus, his light was always from the beginning, the story of the gospel for the outsider being drawn to the center. That's important for us because too often we feel like outsiders. Matthew, who has a particular heart for this theme of the gospel, this theme of the good news, ends his gospel with what? The Great Commission. The Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and I will be with you wherever you go. What a great promise. What a great promise that, in fact, go everywhere and proclaim the gospel. Well, that's who we are. That's who we are. God has designed us to, in fact, he's given us that light, that revelation. Remember that Epiphany is about revelation. It is that same moment that, in fact, Peter had with Jesus. Remember those famous words when Jesus said, who do you say I am? And Peter said, well, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Surprised even himself. And Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Simon, Peter didn't figure it out. The Father told him, he gave him the revelation. And so that's what we celebrate today. Let me tell you why that's important. It doesn't matter how smart you are to become a Christian. Should I say that another way? It doesn't matter how slow you are to become a Christian. Because it's initially God's idea. It's initially God's revelation. Blessed are thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. For flesh and blood is not revealed in this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. That's why we have a mission team in Peru right now. That's why we have Anna, Ann, and Charlotte, and Pastor Jeremy there. That's why we've sent them. We've sent them down there to be an encourager, but also to be encouraged. To be encouraged by what's happening there, to bring it back to us. That's why we had to send a team to Uganda, also to encourage and to be encouraged. Now, I heard someone, this was years ago, folks, who said to me, why do we send these people to these foreign countries? We should just, it's inefficient. We should just write a check and send them some money because that's much cheaper and get them more resources. And I said, for God so loved the world, he did not send a check. What a wonderful thing. You sent a person. We don't do checkbook missions. Money's important. Please give. Please give to the team, to those groups that are going. Money's important. But to have someone carry it and say, here, we've brought it here. Years ago, when I would go to Guyana, and I realized how important family was to them, 2 years later, I took my two daughters with me to them, and I said, here I am, and I brought my daughters. That gave me more respect from them than anything I'd ever done. Just simply the fact that I brought my daughters to be with them. We go to be with them, and because we encourage them, but they encourage us. So that's who we are. We are people of mission. We're not checkbook missionaries. We reach out. We reach out, what, to the county detention center, those young people there. Because we didn't just send some money. We don't just send a guitar. We send someone who can say, here it is. Let me show you how to play it. I hope one of you can do that, okay? We help with the feeding of the multitudes. Why? Because we recognize that we're hungry too. I've never met anyone who did something like that and said, I was more blessed than they were. I was more blessed than they were to be part of this. That's why we do it. We give to Samaritan's Purse. We care for Hope Gap School, not because they are our host, but because we want the young people to see that this is important. This is important. I remember what Pastor Jeremy said when he talked about how that we sent all the cards and so forth to the Charleston Detention Center, or the County Detention Center, that in fact, he said, but you're the first church that's ever reached out to us like that. How important that is to say, but you're important. You're not forgotten. That's what we do, because someone has said that to us, haven't they? Well, we also give to a building fund. We give to a building fund, not just to purchase a house, but because we want the people of James Island, of John's Island, to say, wait a minute, this is important. The gospel is important. It's important to us. That's what we do, what we do. So today we come to celebrate the light of Christ. That he has revealed that revelation to us, who he is, and that then we might share it. Now there's one last kernel, if I may, in the last verse of the gospel this morning that I want you to hear. That's a whole other sermon. I won't give you another 30-minute sermon, okay? But another sermon. Here's the verse. And the wise men, being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed their own country by another way. When you meet Jesus, you have to change direction. When you meet Jesus, you follow a different road. They didn't just do it out of fear. They did it because now they have met the light of the world. Today, we too have met Jesus, and we're following a different road, aren't we? Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen.
Down into darkness, open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you, hope of a life spent with you. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake became poor. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am. together, worthy, all together.